Lieutenant Governor is an ill-defined office, so what would you do to make this post meaningful?
Well, first you would use the statutory issues that are outlined and use some level of executive privilege to expand on that. But I think the one thing that the people in the state of Rhode Island want to see is they want to see a better Rhode Island, a better economy. They want to see better job opportunities and better schools. And in the Lieutenant Governor's office, it just happens that you do chair a small business advisory council. And so that's where you would really put a great deal of focus on. And within the first 90 days in office, I would do two things. One is to outline a plan that would make us, if followed, would make us competitive on tax structures with our bordering states in terms of business and at large, you know, throughout the state of Rhode Island. And the other thing that I tell a quick story, if I could, on how you actually could facilitate that. I mean, I have the experience as a mayor, and we can go into detail on that as well. But what I did when I was mayor, when I first got into office, got 5-point downgrade on our bond rating. I called Moody's up and said, that's not a very good bond rating. Tell me how I can upgrade that. Tell me the three things I need to do on that. This summer, we had our 8th upgrade to AA. So I did the same thing this summer. Thumbtack, which is out in San Francisco, ranked Rhode Island again as the lowest business friendliness state in the country.
But we've just had an upgrade by Moody's.
We did have an upgrade by Moody's, yes, which is good. I always like the upgrades. But our small business friendliness is something that is really holding us back. I called Thumbtack. I talked to the executive director out there, and I says, as lieutenant governor, I get the weigh in on this issue. And give me the three metrics that actually gets us out of last place. And he did that.
One thing people talk about is Rhode Island, of course, the governor and lieutenant governor run independent of each other. A lot of other states, they run as a team. Would it be better to move to electoral system where you and the gubernatorial candidate of your party run as a team, or is it better to keep it independent?
Well, that's questions asked quite often. I think that you're going to see that the state of Rhode Island will move toward, just like they did with the master lever, eliminating the master lever. I think they're going to align the governor and the lieutenant governor's office in some form, whether it's like Massachusetts or some other state. I think that's a foregone conclusion. I support that. But for the next 4 years, I think what's important is that that's not the case. And what you need is someone there who's had the experience, as I have as mayor, as I just outlined, has the experience, 30 years of business experience, and also has worked with Fortune 100 companies through CVS and other expansions in manufacturing directly as a mayor. So you need someone who has the experience to help address the most significant issue that we're dealing with right now, which has to do with job opportunities and the economy.
You know, you're a Democrat, now Republican Alan Fung, the mayor of Cranston. If he wins, how would you work across the aisle with a governor of a different party?
Obviously, I'm supporting the Democrat. I think it's time that we elect a Democrat in the state of Rhode Island and Gina Raimondo. And I'll tell you, I'll answer it this way. My first phone call to set up the appointments will be with the municipal leaders in the state of Rhode Island. And I've done that, and I put together municipal leaders that have helped save taxpayers in the state and communities millions of dollars over the last few years by creating a coalition of municipal leaders. We'll have a place in that office of lieutenant governor where we'll have a place where the municipal leaders can hang their hat, and they'll have a voice in state government for probably the first time in that way. To help the cities and towns and taxpayers in the cities and towns. And Alan Fung, as mayor, will get that invitation.
One of the big debates in this electoral season is a ballot question that the voters will tackle the same day you're up for election on November 4th, and that's the Constitutional Convention. Is this a good idea or a bad idea?
I don't think that it's 100% one way or the other, but I think that it is important that at this juncture in the state of time in the state of Rhode Island, that the people get to weigh in every fashion possible in terms of the way that we're governed and the governance models. I think there's a great deal that we can be accomplished in a constitutional convention, and I think you have to be wary of the potential of it getting hijacked. I hear that argument, but we do get to elect those delegates. And I think that that's really, really important, and we should allow the people to, at this point in time, have a convention and then have a real honest conversation about resetting the state of Rhode Island. My campaign has been about not getting on a new set of, not getting on the old set of back on track, but getting on a new set of tracks, Scott. And I think that that Constitutional Convention could actually help us get on a new set of tracks in the state of Rhode Island.
So you'll be voting yes on the Con-Con?
I will be.
The current Lieutenant Governor, Elizabeth Roberts, a fellow Democrat, was one of the leaders of establishing the state's insurance exchange, HealthSource Rhode Island, of course, that's part of Obamacare. It's going to cost some money, so what should the state do with the exchange, HealthSource Rhode Island?
Well, first, a tip of the hat to the Lieutenant Governor for really establishing a program there that has been nationally recognized and a leader in the country. That said, a good program just doesn't mean that you just throw dollars at it. So the cost there that's being estimated somewhere between, I think, $16 and $22 million that I'm hearing, we can't absorb that in our state budget. We should be putting that towards our schools, our infrastructure, or other areas that make a lot of sense, or resetting, which I would do in the tax structure. You know, talk about that. So I think what you need to find, Scott, is you got to find a way to make that cost neutral or as close to cost neutral as possible. And so reaching out, if it's across lieutenant governor, as governors to governors, or collectively as state leaders, we need to reach out with our bordering states and determine whether or not there's something that can be done, just like I did with the municipal leaders. There's savings there that could really that we need to help realize.
You don't have to read the newspaper or listen to us every day to know that Rhode Island has high unemployment, that we're still having a slow recovery. We're in the economic doldrums. What is, Lieutenant Governor, just a couple things that you can do to jumpstart the economy?
Well, the first thing you can do is on the small business issue. And so right now I'm going around the state and visiting all 39 communities, having a cup of coffee in each community and meeting with the owners of those of diners throughout the state. And we're calling it the 39 Cups of Coffee Tour. And what you can do, because you have a voice on the small business issue, let's figure out how to create small business friendliness. The three things that I spoke earlier about in the interview, one has to do with tax structure. Really take a look at the tax structure and make sure that we're competitive. The second has to do with licensing, making sure that all the licensing that it takes for a small business to open up shop is competitive as well with our neighbors. And the third thing, it has to do with job training. And I certainly would reach out to our national congressional leaders in that area, which they have a great deal of interest in.
You know, Rhode Islanders sometimes say that if nobody was in the lieutenant governor's office, how could you tell? Why do we need a lieutenant governor?
Well,
Except for the Grim Reaper aspect of
right now
the governor comes along.
Right now, well, first of all, you need to be prepared. You need to elect a lieutenant governor that actually has the experience to govern as a governor in that case where it's not probable, but it's not impossible. The reason that you right now what we need is we need to elect proven leaders. We need leadership in the state of Rhode Island to get us on a new set of tracks. Reset the way that we do business, the way we conduct our government. I've had the experience to do that, Scott. I've done that in ways that we've realigned and reset pensions in our town, health insurance benefits and retirement, saving hundreds of millions of dollars doing that. We just had to open a manufacturing company in the town of Cumberland, 350,000 square feet. Called Okanite. They're a world leader in the manufacturing of wire for energy exploration. Senator Reid, Senator Whitehouse, Congressman Cicilline all attended that the press conference we had there last week. That's hundreds of jobs and millions of dollars of investment. So to answer your question, it makes a lot of sense to elect someone who has the leadership ability, demonstrated that over long time frames, to help the state of Rhode Island. And I look forward to playing a role in resetting that. I don't think it's a one-person's job, but I would like to be able to play a role in that as lieutenant governor of the state of Rhode Island.
Thank you, Dan McKee, Democratic candidate for lieutenant governor. Thanks for coming in here today and talking to us.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate the invitation.